When you get to your seat, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13. It's always fun to watch everybody have a good time greeting, and I really enjoy watching that. At least you're excited to see each other. It could be the other way. Boy, you couldn't wait to get home. All right, Matthew chapter 13, if you'd turn there with me. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up, and some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? And he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. That is why I speak to you in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is a man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it, and he produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or even 30 times what was sown. Father, this morning we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here to unveil your word and cause us to understand what you're saying. And Lord, we pray that you would help me to communicate what you feel this body needs to know today. And Lord, I would not speak of my own physical selfishness, but I would just surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit this morning, allowing your word to do the work. And Lord, we just love your word. We thank you that it has the potential to do great things in us and through us. And so, Lord, we look forward to what's ahead. And we just ask, Lord, this morning that if there's anything in any one of these parables where we have allowed certain things to take your word away, that today would be the end of that. And we would all allow our hearts and minds to be good ground, soil for the seeds of God's word to be placed and to grow and to mature and to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for that. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. The interesting thing about this story, which I'm sure many of you probably have heard, but don't let that stop you from listening today. You ever notice that? Oh, I've heard that before. So we kind of tune out and go do our own thing. God wants to continually, his word should never get old to you. Right, Verna? Those, Don, you guys that have been Christians for a long time, Glenn and Carolyn, the word of God should never ever get old to you. I don't care how well you know the story. If it gets old, it's not a God or a word problem. It's a you problem. Because his word should continually feed my spirit. No matter how much my mind knows, my spirit man needs the word of God so much. Because how many men, women, or people have lived their lives and at the end of their life have strayed off what God had in mind for them because they did not value the word of God like they should have. It happens many times. You even look at the men of the Bible and how quickly certain areas of their life can cause such a distraction that you don't want to go down that road. So let God's word always be something of great value to you. Don't let it ever just say, well, I know that story. Because God wants to allow his word to be fresh and new all the time. And we're just very thankful that God loves us as much to give us his word, which never gets old. So this farmer, who's going to be you? You know why? Because you have seeds in your hand that you can plant. The Bible says you can speak with your mouth, you can say things, either life or death, but you have seeds, and the seeds are God's word, and where the seed lands determines whether you're fruitful or not. And you and I have the privilege of having the words of God, which is the seed, and we get to plant seeds in our own lives of his word. And I pray that you and I get such a grasp of how powerful God's word is that we don't want to ever let go of what God has to say. I would say probably in America, one of the greatest tragedies to the church is this. We've got way too many good books. Let's just be honest. We like reading good books. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as it doesn't take the place of God's word. And so, but the reality is that God's word has some great things, and God has given people great revelation of many things, which is great to read. I'm not against that. I'm just saying when certain books come out, it's like there's such an excitement to read them. I can't wait to get the next one. You hardly ever hear anybody say, I can't wait to read the next book in my Bible. I can't wait to read John, or I can't wait to read Romans. I can't wait. You know, we just don't have that same anticipation. But this farmer was going to go out and plant seed, and he was going to sow his seed. And let me ask you this. Every seed that you and I have reproduces after its own kind. If I had corn in my hand, it would produce corn. If I had hate in my hand, it's going to produce hate. If I have selfishness in my hand, it's going to produce selfishness. Whatever seed I have and whatever I plant into my life and I allow to be planted in me, that's what it's going to produce. I don't care what anybody says. That's what happens. Has anybody ever received a harvest of some seed you wish you'd never planted? Huh? Yeah. At the time, it was like, I'm right. I got a right to be this way. I can do this because that's just the way it is. And all of a sudden, down the road, God begins to deal with your heart. And pretty soon, you have to pull this big old honking pig root out of your life. And it's like, it's hard. It's difficult. It leads a hole in your life once you get it out. And it's just like, wow, what did I really let myself get to that point? And sometimes we have to be honest and say, yeah, we did. And so we have to be careful that we don't plant seeds in our lives that if it ever grew up and became fruitful, that we wouldn't want the fruit of it. Let me give you an example from Scripture. Don't let any root of bitterness grow in you. Root of bitterness. It's a root, something that grows deep in us. He says, don't ever allow the root of bitterness to grow in you. So when you want to be bitter about something, what are you supposed to do with it? Say, I have a right to be here? No. Because if you want the fruit of bitterness, then that's what you're going to get. Because you can't plant something and expect to get a different harvest than what you're planting. So you and I have to learn how to submit our flesh, my wants, my desires, my thoughts, my words, all of that has to come under the authority of God's word and God's spirit, and allow ourselves not to plant. I'll give you an example from my own life. This is going to be really probably weird to you, but I understand it completely. And I'm telling on myself, so it's nobody's fault but my own. When Carol and I would go to bed at night, there would be times when I didn't agree with her, and I would turn my back towards her. And she'll testify you to today, I still do that. I never used to. And at the time, God said, don't do that. So, I continued. And I still have today. In fact, I did it last night. And now, I'm telling on myself, so you can ask. Not because of what I think you're going to ask me. You might say, well, what difference does that make? Does it really matter? If God said not to do it, why am I doing it? Because I'm selfish. It's a part of me that's selfish. She probably could care. I don't know if she even notices. It doesn't matter. She's probably happy that I don't bug her or I don't breathe on her, you know, whatever. It does, but that part, see, the result is it doesn't matter what she thinks. It matters what God told me. Why? Because something was inside of me that wanted my selfishness to be my way, and all of a sudden it got a lot bigger where now it's just too easy to do it. I mean, I get in bed. And I don't have any problem. I used to get in bed and crawl towards her. Now I just get in bed and I lay right back down. And she's over there. And I don't have an issue with it. But it bugs me because I know I wasn't listening. And I've done it enough times now to where now it's a root. So now I got to pull it out and fill that bugger up with some concrete or something. I shouldn't say concrete. That's probably not good. Fill it up with something better. So I promise I'll scratch your back tonight, honey. For 10 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. But you got to be careful what you sow. And you might think, well, it's just a little thing. How many times does a little seed become a big tree? You know, that little acorn or that little seed of a tree or that little seed has the ability to, once it's planted and it gets in the right soil. Why is it so easy to plant the wrong stuff? You ever notice that? It's easy to plant the wrong stuff. So the reality is that you and I need to learn how to plant the right stuff and that we'll get the right seeds growing in us. So I want to ask you, where did you get your seed that you're planting in your life? Because if you didn't get it from God's word, you might be ready to harvest something you really don't want. So you better be careful of the seeds and the thoughts and the words that you speak, you and I speak. I'm going to put myself in here because I am already there. But we have to be careful of the seeds that we plant with our words and the seeds that we plant with our mind and the seeds that we plant with whatever we're doing. And the reality is that if I am careful of what seed I plant, then I'll be great. It'll be great when I reap a harvest. Because I do believe, just like a farmer, you want pure seed. You want seed that absolutely is exactly what you want planted. Well, God is no different. If God wants to plant seed in my life, and I try to mix it with seeds of the world and seeds of what I think and seeds of what somebody else wrote in another book and seeds of this, and I mix it all together, what kind of harvest is God really going to get? He might not get the harvest he's looking for out of my life. So be careful of the seeds that you plant. Be careful of the things that you take in, because you are what you eat, like it or not. And too many times, I'm not talking physically now, because I'd have to talk about Snickers. We don't want to talk about that right now. But the reality is that what I feed my mind and my heart all determines of how many good seeds I really get. And so when I get to the place of allowing God to plant his word, see, this is good, pure seed. This is the kind of seeds you and I need in our life every single day. Because, you know, here's the reality. If I plant today and I water today what's already been planted, then I'm going to get a harvest here. But tomorrow's going to come, and if I don't plant tomorrow, then I don't get another harvest beyond the next day. You know what I'm saying? I have to continually keep on planting and planting and planting so I can reap a harvest, 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 and it never quits. Why? Because God's never done with me. He'll never be done planting good seeds in me. If I ever quit, I'll come to a place where my life will be dead, it'll be barren. It might look pretty on the outside, but on the inside, it's nothing. It's like a garden right now. I just pulled all the corn. I pulled all the green beans. We've been digging potatoes. I pulled it up, and you look at it, it's like, ain't close to what it used to look like. But man, did we eat, didn't we, Mama? We ate. Why? Because there was things that we planted in there that we harvested that we got out of it, and it's just really good things that we planted. So let me ask you this. What seeds are you planting in your heart, in your life? Because what you plant is what you will get. You were meant to take the seeds of God's word and plant it so that you'd receive a harvest of truth. You must learn how to plant time and time again, and God will never stop planting his word in us. Psalms 119. Let's turn over there. Psalms 119, one of the longest chapters in the Bible, in case you're interested in that. Psalms 119, verse 105. One of the reasons you and I need the word of God so much is so that you and I know where we're going. Psalms 119, verse 105, it says this: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. It's a great verse to memorize. Just memorize it. It's real short and easy, and put it on your fridge or by your sink or by your mirror when you get ready or whatever, and just say, Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light that illuminates my path. If I don't have that illuminated path, I start walking wherever I want. And you know, have you ever done that? There'll be sometimes I often wonder what it would like to be blind, so at night I won't turn any lights on and I just try to make my way through the house. Man, my toes hurt. You knock something over, you forget it's there, and you stub your toe. Why? Because there's nothing illuminating my path. I've been here how many times? I should have it memorized. But the reality is that when I am in my own way, I will stray off. I will get off course, and I will end up someplace. It happened last night. I don't know if she noticed or not, but it was pitch dark. I come back into the bedroom from, I don't remember if I was eating or doing something. I can't remember what I was doing. And I literally got lost in my own bedroom. I'm feeling the carpet. It's like, okay, I'm here. There's the blinking light of the fire alarm. I see that there, and I saw the clock, and it's like, this should be obvious. And I was like stumbling around trying to find my way, and honestly, I was lost. And I finally found something that resembled a light, and I pushed the button on my phone, and all of a sudden it lit up. It's like, oh, Now I know where I'm at. You know how long I've been in that same room and that same bed on my own? And I still got lost because I didn't have a light illuminating my path. That's how dependent we are on God's word. That's how dependent you and I have to allow the word of God to be that lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. We have to allow the word of God to guide and direct our lives so much that if I go a day without it, I'm in trouble. I mean, let's just face it. Do you know how many people across the world would love to have as many Bibles as you have and I have in our house? I guarantee you, we've probably got 25 Bibles in our house. Do you know how many people across the world would love to have one? And we can't find enough time to read it? Are you kidding me? Are we selfish or what? Think about it. We're spoiled. They would love to have it, and we can't find enough time to even give God 5 minutes. What do we expect's going to happen with my life? I can't give God 5 minutes of my time and expect him to do great things. That's okay to begin with. But as I grow, I should want more food. I should desire more. I mean, think about it. When you were a baby, you used to eat about, 2 to 3 ounces every meal as a baby? I don't know. Moms, help me. Yeah, thank you. But now look at us. We can put down mega food. Why? Because we grew and we were able to eat more and we were able to take in more. And because of that, we are able to do more than a baby could do on a little bit of milk. Spiritually, many of us might be babies today because we're trying to live this adult life in a baby mentality. Think about that. If I ate as much spiritually as I do physically, I'd be just fine as a giant in God's kingdom. Why? Because I make sure that I have enough time to make that food, to enjoy it, to sit down, to eat it, to take it on the run. I bring it with me. I go out of my way to go to the grocery store to grab a few extra handy-dandy little things so I can make sure that when I'm going down the road, I get hungry, I can just reach over and snack. What if we did that spiritually? Woo, man. We'd all be good and fat. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It's a great verse. Many people probably memorize this as one of their favorites, and I think it's still the same today. He says, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Do not let the book of the law, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to believe everything written in it. Huh? Do, not believe. When you came to Christ, you believed. Now it's time to do something with what you believe. It's time not to just exist as a believer, not just come to Christ, but to begin to do whatever it is he's asking. Why? Because only in meditating and doing God's word will you fulfill what God desires. God didn't create you and me just to come to him, to get fed just whatever we want, when we want it, and then not do anything with it. If I gave Aaron, I went to Sears, I bought all the lawnmowers, all the trimmers, all the chainsaws, all the tools to fix it all, and I gave it to him, and all he did is let it sit in his shop. Did it do him any good? Why not? Because he's not doing anything with it. God has given us a total shop of everything we would ever need for life and for godliness. What are we doing with it? I have to ask myself that question. What am I doing with what God gave me? If God gave me this book to meditate and to take it into my life so that I would be willing or able to do what he's asking, just like what was prophetically spoken this morning. I will not ask you to do anything I don't think you could do. He's not going to take us down a road. We can't do whatever he's asking. So when God asks us to come to him and to believe on him and to walk with him and to meditate on his word, why does he do that? So that we can do what he's asking, because only when we do what he's asking are we pleasing to him. When we come to him, he's pleased. But once we come to him, it's absolutely crucial. Let me just share it this way. In John chapter 10, Jesus says he's the gate, right? So when you and I are being led by Jesus and he leads us to himself, we receive him into our life, do we just stand at the gate? We go through the gate. Once we go through the gate, the Bible says there's a road to walk on. And if we don't learn how to walk on that road after we've come to Christ, we basically stand at the gate. Well, I don't know about you, but growing up on the farm, when we moved cows from one pasture to another, we led them to the gate, but they didn't stay there. They couldn't wait to boom, 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 boom. Their lawnmower's going all over the place. They're eating over here, and they're going over here, and they're finding the water, and they're eating over here. Why? Because where I was wasn't enough to keep me satisfied. Now, where God's leading me will satisfy me until I need to go to a different place. And God, sometimes we don't have much of a desire, but God wants to lead us to different places. And if we're not willing to go where he's leading us, then you will starve to death where you are, because where you're at isn't enough. Where I was at is not enough. Right now, the Lord spoke to me about 2 weeks ago of something I need to do for myself, spiritually. The Lord specifically told me what I need to do. The first day was the easiest day I've ever had. The second day, I had to make time. I didn't have the same desire. I didn't have the same drive to make sure that it was taken care of. And so I have to realize that my flesh still needs to die, and that when God asks us to do something, it's not just going to come easy all the time. There's going to be some work on your part where you have to guard and protect what he's wanting to invest in you. You guard and protect it. Why? Because he has the words of life. He has the words of life. He has the words that will continue to sustain me, to continue to empower me, to continue to allow me to be exactly everything that is pleasing in his sight. When he created me and I step into that creative, whatever he wants, it gives me the ability to be pleasing to him. But when I stand back, you ever ask your kids to come to you and they go, no. How pleased are you? And God isn't even going to do it mean. He's just saying, Jeff, come to me. I'll never forget. There have been nights when I've just gotten to sleep, and for some reason I wake up and it's like, okay, that's my sign. When I can't sleep, I know you want something, Lord. So he says, what do you want me to do? He says, I just want to be with you. So how do you say no to that? You can go back to sleep if you want, but when God says he just wants to be with you, you listen to that, you hear that, because whatever God wants to give you, whatever time he wants to spend with you, that's like even when God's moving here and we're just quiet. I think he just wants to be with us. I think it's a joy of his heart that he says, here's a group of people that's not in a hurry to do their own thing. They just want me. And that's what's awesome about God, is that when he draws us to himself, there's so many times when he does things differently, just like this morning, but when he draws us and he doesn't say a word, just wait until he releases you to go further. Wait until you have a peace that you've stayed there long enough. Why? Because if you and I learn to hear what he's saying and do what he's asking, we'll be pleasing in his sight. And that is so important. So, so important. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. And you know what's, it's really not hard to do that, to spend time with God. until you find satisfaction in something else? When you and I find joy and satisfaction in life, sometimes it gets pretty easy to replace God with whatever becomes satisfying. Let me give you an example from my own life. Ever since I came up here, there's been a paper that's come called The Peddler. Everything you can live without and more. For some reason, I had a hankering to see what I couldn't live without. In other words, I was interested in what everybody else was selling. And it's just like, oh, that's interesting, that's interesting, that's interesting. To the point where when it came in the mail, I would go get it and I would read it before I'd read my Bible. Why? Because I gave it my attention. I gave it my desire. I couldn't wait to see what was in there. Well, I've had times when God's word's been like that. I get up in the morning or get up at night or whatever time it is, and I get open God's word. It's like, Lord, what's in here? And then all of a sudden came the peddler. And I couldn't wait to see what was in it. I'll read that later. I'll do that tonight. Oh, I've got time. Don't worry. Hold on, God. What's here is more important. Is really what I was telling you. That's what I was saying. And so it's quick and easy to get rid of something that all of a sudden has become life-changing to you. Why? Because when you're up on the mountaintop and everything's going great, it's easy to slide down the hill. You don't have to work at it anymore. It's just there and you're just enjoying it. And it's, you get to the bottom and you got to do like, remember when you sled in the snow? You get down to the bottom, it's great, and all of a sudden, you know, you have to work your way back up to the top. But the reality is that you and I have to protect, you and I have to guard, and we have to watch out that nothing takes God's place. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18. The wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. He who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. So the seeds of God's word is a sure righteousness. The seeds of God's word. So what am I going to do with those seeds? When I read them, do I allow them to stay in my brain or do I allow them getting down in my heart where what gets down inside of me becomes a behavior that follows what I believe? And if I don't follow what I believe, then what in the world are we sitting here for? You could just as well stay at home. And I say that with all due respect. If I, as a pastor, am not going to take the words of the seeds of God's word, and if I am not going to allow them to get down inside of me, I could just as well quit and do something else. That's how serious this is. Why? Because if I'm going to say I believe what God says, if I'm going to say I believe what God created me to do, then I know I can't do this by myself. I can't do this without God's word because I would run out of things to say. I'm not that good of a storyteller. Howard can tell a story. He'll keep you there until forever. You're just kind of in tune. At least I think you are. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I think you can sit there and you can make as the one guy said, to make a short story long. But you can. You've got that ability. My son Jordan can tell a story. When we were kids, he'd tell me a story, and he loved that. His imagination would just go wild. And it's like, my brain hurts when you do that. But the reality is that without God's word, we're sunk. I'm sunk. I'm not that good. I can't keep your attention that much, but I know God's word can, because if you sow good seeds, you're going to reap a sure reward. Sow seeds of righteousness, right doing. Righteousness is basically doing what is right. When you sow those seeds of doing what is right, how are you going to know what to do is right? You're going to read his word. And when God says, Jeff, here's what you need to do, then you do it. And then you sow seeds of righteousness. But the other part of that is that the wicked man earns deceptive wages. Well, we know that's not godly, so we can't go down that road. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 8. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble. Now you might say, well, why'd you pick that one? Do you know how easy it is to jump on the bandwagon of tearing somebody down? We've all done it. None of us are innocent. Do you know what will destroy a body more than anything else? Is when you and I begin to speak against each other. God did not create us to destroy each other. Bottom line, I have the ability to speak life and I have the ability to speak death. Which one do I want? What fruit do I want? But here it says, he who sows wickedness reaps trouble. Didn't say only the wicked sow wickedness. It says he who sows wickedness. In other words, as long as I'm in my physical body, I have the potential on a daily basis to sow wickedness into your life. Because of my own selfishness, because of my own flesh that is so dangerous that if it's not under God's control, I can speak something and ruin you or myself or somebody else. I can kill whatever God's wanting to birth. Somebody wants to begin a ministry. I can say, well, what? God doesn't want to use you for that. Why would you do that? You're not gifted for that. I could destroy it. I could destroy someone just because of what I said out of my flesh, not out of the spirit. So I have to be careful that I don't sow wickedness. So the next time that you and I are going to say something, let's weigh that and say, does this come under the line of wickedness or does this come under the line of righteousness? I have to weigh that. I have to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Philippians chapter 4. And if it's not something that will the Lord would say, then I probably shouldn't be saying it either, because remember, when you and I came to him, we came to him to be saved. We came into him to receive our camouflage, a reflection of who he is. And then we came to walk under the power of the authority of Jesus Christ to be able to speak life and health and things into the world and into people's lives. And there's no possible way I could ever go get a FedEx uniform and work for UPS. It just isn't going to happen. They're going to say, wrong uniform. God's doing the same thing. If you're going to be for him, you can't put the world's uniform. You can't put your selfish uniform. You can't do any of that because none of that reflects him. We have to be careful that whoever we're going to serve, we put on that uniform and we keep that on and we live that accordingly. Okay. I got one more scripture and then next week we'll go back to the other Matthew account. Galatians chapter 6. I wasn't planning on staying out here this far. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll close with this verse today. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap what? Destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. But the first part is what I want us to focus on. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You and I sow with our thoughts, and we sow with our words. Two places we sow. And if I am not careful, I can go from walking in righteousness to the very next minute of walking in wickedness. That's how quickly we can get there. In fact, you can have a wonderful morning like this, walk out those doors, get in your vehicle, and boom, you can start acting like the old wicked self. Let's just be honest, I've done it. That's how quickly we can flop. Now, does God desire that? No. That's why if I'm willing to reap what I sow, what you started sowing here today is great. But if you and I don't water that seed this week, next week when we come, it'll be that much easier to walk out of here and sow wickedness again. And God isn't interested in that part because he doesn't want us to reflect wickedness. He wants us to reflect righteousness. And when you reflect righteousness, guess what? It is so pleasing to our Heavenly Father. He loves it. He's enjoying the fact that you're doing what he says. Not just believing, but you're doing. So don't get all caught up in what you want to say. Get caught up in what you believe and then do what you believe. Get all caught up in what God's word says we should do and just do that. It's not hard. Right? You're all looking at me like, are you from another planet or what? It's not hard when your desire's there. Let's just face it. I don't have them. I watched the NDSU Bison game the other day, Saturday. Do you know how much time and preparation people put into going to a game like that? Especially the ones that paint themselves up and dress wild. It was not painstaking for them to do that. Why? Because their desire was there. We're going to the game. We're going to go tailgate, and we're going to go eat, and we're going to barbecue, and we're going to be, whoop, whoop, you know, we're going to be excited about our team, and you know they're going to win, so we're just going to be excited, and they dress up and paint themselves all kind of goofy colors, and it's just like, is that so-and-so from our community? They do that? Yeah. Why? Because it's something they believe in so much and they have an enjoyable time doing it. If you and I would just enjoy what God wants to do, guess what? People would be way more attracted to what God's doing. Way more attracted. So I have to allow myself to enjoy the opportunities when God moves. I just get in. I don't worry about my flesh. I just get in and do what he's saying. Do what he's asking and just get excited about what he's doing. And when that happens, I can't wait to go be here. It's a lot easier. So wherever you're at today is where you're at. But where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Because what you sow today can begin to become that seed of what God wants you to be. So would you stand with me? And you've been sitting for a while. Let's all stand and let's agree together in prayer. If we're going to continue in what God's wanting to do here at New Life, and even in our own lives, we have to come to the place where we have to let him sow in us what he desires. And I might as well get on board with what he wants, because if that's what he wants inside of me, then I'm going to get excited about it and be pleasing to him. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, that your word has the ability to inspire us to be careful of what's been going on in our lives. Because what we do sow is exactly what we'll reap. But some of the seeds that might be started in you today might not be pleasing to God, and you can stop that even today. That can begin to be changed today because of your desire. Say, Lord, I thought I really wanted that seed, and I really thought that was the right way, but now looking at your word, I know it's not you. And just invite you to take some time to repent of that today. It's nothing to put you down. We've all been there. We've all dealt with things where we've had desires that are not godly, so don't feel condemned. Just make it right and start taking a step in the right direction today. Let the Holy Spirit convict you of that and then inspire you. Inspire you to take another step in the right direction. Because we're certainly not going to condemn you. And God isn't going to condemn you. The only one that's going to condemn you is the devil. So don't listen to him. But be inspired by God's word that you want to sow seeds that reap a harvest of righteousness. So just make that commitment to the Lord today from your heart to his. Because I could pray what I think should be prayed, but what do you want? Why don't you talk to him and you express that to him? Lord, this is what I want out of my life. I want to plant good seeds of righteousness, right doing, right things that honor and please you. And Lord, when I'm on my road, on that road of getting off track, I pray for a deep conviction of the Holy Spirit to hit me so that I stay on that right track. Let your word help guide me and direct me so that when we walk, we're going to exactly see everything that you want done because we want to walk with you, Lord. So thank you, Father, for what you're going to continue to orchestrate this day by the working of the Holy Spirit, that this day will manifest everything that you have desire. And Lord, we'll respond to that and do exactly what you ask. We love you and thank you, Lord God, for how you move in our midst today. Thank you for what you're saying through your word, because it must be important for something that's coming. Otherwise, you'd never warn us that what we sow is what we reap. Thank you, Lord. And even now, as if God just stirs you about something or you need to ask for forgiveness, go ahead and do that. The altar's open if you'd like to. I don't want you to get in the mode of that if Carol doesn't play, it's not a time to move. No, you move any time God speaks, because you may not always have a piano where you're at. And when God speaks, are you going to listen to him or you got to wait for the piano? If God is speaking, just step out and do what God's asking. If he's not, don't worry about it. But just be ready. Whatever God is saying. So let's just take a moment and evaluate what God is saying to us. Is he wanting to get rid of some things? Is he wanting to rearrange some things in my life, in your life? And if he is, let's pull those weeds up. And in its place, let's plant something better. Let's plant a good seed of righteousness. Let's plant a good seed today so that we can reap a harvest of righteousness, right standing, right doing in front of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're faithful. Lord, I want to be faithful. I thank you for seeds of faithfulness today being planted in my spirit, in my life. Faithfulness to your voice. Faithfulness to what you're saying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we're so thankful that there's lots of good seeds to plant. What a storehouse of good seeds. Help us never to settle for the world seeds, but help us to enjoy the seeds that you want to plant in us. Yep.
I feel I have something that the Lord wanted me to share. I heard a word talking about the reaping and sowing, the process of reaping and sowing, and then these last days, that process of reaping and sowing is going to be sped up. That rate of return, that return rate is going to be sped up because of the short time that we have. And he gave me like a picture of an hourglass, you know, how the sand, it kind of seems like it comes out at this steady pace in the beginning, but at the end it seems like it picks up the pace as the grains of sand go through. So I just feel like he wanted me to share that.
Thank you. That's good. So Lord, thank you for how there's an urgency to sow good seeds and to be a part of what you're doing. So, Lord, help us to make room in our life for what you want to do. Help us not to be so consumed with ourself that we fail to hear what you're asking. So, Lord, thank you for how you're going to move in this body, how you're going to motivate us, how you're going to lead us. Lead on, O King Eternal. We're ready to walk. We're getting things out of the way. We're making room for you so that when you speak, we don't have a bunch of baggage that we should have dealt with a while ago. So, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to continue to do. And, Lord, we just say as a congregation, if you agree with me, just say, I'm ready. Woo-hoo! I'm ready, Lord. We can't wait to walk with you faithfully, 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 every day. So, Lord, we love you for that. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being, oh, yeah, come on.
I just continue to stand in agreement. The Lord just dropping some stuff in me here. So when I see you, Jeff, I just see you sitting, standing on the seashore. And there's a wind coming off of the ocean. And that wind delivers a freshness. And that you've stood there for a long period of time. But I'm also noticed that underneath your feet, that you've stood firm so long, that your footprint is embedded in the sand. But as the Lord's going to turn you to go in a new direction, you're going to go into those footprints that were set before you. But they're footprints that were set by your forefathers. And I'm just reminded of these two charges that was given to Joshua. Be strong and courageous and fear nothing, for I am the Lord with you. But also with the Apostle Paul. For as he told Ananias that this man is my chosen instrument. And he told the Apostle Paul, don't be afraid and don't you be silent. For Jeff, I believe you're going to deliver a freshness that you've sat in the breeze and you've collected. That freshness is going to be poured out through the water cleansed through God's word. But I also see the sand. For everywhere your forefathers walked, they walked on dry ground, where the Lord God went ahead of them, and he parted every way and delivered them away for his will to be done. So as we release you, Lord, I'm just relying on your word for what I see as a man of discipline. For he's a disciple. And just as Jesus prayed over his disciples, not that we send, but we stand in agreement of who sent them. Lord, for Jesus said, Father, protect them. So we ask that you protect Jeff and his family. For that he is being sent into this world, but he is not of this world. That the freshness that he will deliver will bring many forth into a new direction. Lord, I just thank you for him, and I give you all the honor and all the praise and all the thanksgiving for this new direction and the freshness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So be praying for me this week, and I'll be praying for you, and it'll be a great exchange of what God wants to do. So, yeah, it is. So anyway, I'm sure there's coffee fellowship. Stay as long as you like, obviously. Enjoy each other's company, and thanks for coming and being a part of today. Just really appreciate that. Have a great day, everybody.